claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
I gotta say, we all need a lot of help these days, especially in understanding what's going on in the world. I'm delighted that Lori Price has joined me once again. I've just been astonished to discover from my dear colleague Michael Ivey that Vladimir Putin gave a speech, Empire of Lies speech, on February 24th. You have not heard a word about this from the mainstream media. This is an historic speech. You would think when we're on the verge of a possible world war that the media would at least have the responsibility to report what actually is being said by the leader of one of the great nuclear powers whose interests have conflicted with the West and have now come to a head. Here I'm going to present the speech. It took Putin 27 minutes. I'll try to do this before we hit the break and then bring in Lori. Here we go. February 24th, 2022. Vladimir Putin, President of Russia. Citizens of Russia, friends, I consider it necessary today to speak again about the tragic events in Donbass and the key aspects of ensuring the security of Russia. I will begin with what I said in my address on February 21st. I spoke about our biggest concerns and worries and about the fundamental threats which irresponsible Western politicians created for Russia consistently, rudely, and unceremoniously from year to year. I am referring to the eastward expansion of NATO, which is moving its military infrastructure ever closer to the Russian border. It is a fact that over the past 30 years, we have been patiently trying to come to an agreement with the leading NATO countries regarding the principles of equal and indivisible security in Europe. In response to our proposals, we invariably faced either cynical deception and lies or attempts at pressure and blackmail, while the North Atlantic Alliance continued to expand despite our protests and concerns. Its military machine is moving and, as I said, is approaching our very border. Why is this happening? Where did this insolent manner of talking down from the height of their exceptionalism, infallibility, and all permissiveness come from? What is the explanation for this contemptuous and disdainful attitude to our interests and absolute legitimate demands? The answer is simple. Everything is clear and obvious. In the late 1980s, the Soviet Union grew weaker and subsequently broke apart. That experience should serve as a good lesson for us because it has shown us that the paralysis of power and will is the first step toward complete degradation and oblivion. We lost confidence for only one moment, but it was enough to disrupt the balance of forces in the world. As a result, the old treaties and agreements are no longer effective. Entreaties and requests do not help. Anything that does not suit the dominant state, the powers that be, is denounced as archaic, obsolete, and useless. At the same time, everything it regards as useful is presented as the ultimate truth and forced on others, regardless of the cost, abusively and by any means available. Those who refuse to comply are subjected to strong-arm tactics. What I'm saying now does not concern only Russia, and Russia is not the only country worried about this. It has to do with the entire system of international relations and sometimes even U.S. allies. The collapse of the Soviet Union led to a redivision of the world and the norms of international law that developed by that time. And the most important of them, the fundamental norms that were adopted following World War II and largely formalized its outcome, came in the way of those who declared themselves the winners of the Cold War. Of course, practice, international relations, and the rules regulating them had to take into account the changes that took place in the world and in the balance of forces. However, this should have been done professionally, smoothly, patiently, and with due regard and respect for the interests of all states and one's own responsibility. Instead, we saw a state of euphoria created by the feeling of absolute superiority, a kind of modern absolutism coupled with the low cultural standards and arrogance of those who formulated and pushed through decisions that suited only themselves. The situation took a different turn. There are many examples of this. First, a bloody military operation was waged against Belgrade without the UN Security Council's sanction, but with combat aircraft and missiles used in the heart of Europe. The bombing of peaceful cities and vital infrastructures went on for several weeks. I have to recall these facts because some Western colleagues prefer to forget them, and when we mention the event, they prefer to avoid speaking about international law, instead emphasizing the circumstances which they interpret as they think necessary. Then came the turn of Iraq, Libya, and Syria. The illegal use of military power against Libya and the distortion of all the UN Security Council decisions on Libya ruined the state, created a huge scene of international terrorism, and pushed the country toward a humanitarian catastrophe into the vortex of a civil war which has continued there for years. The tragedy, which was created for hundreds of thousands of even millions of people, not only in Libya, but in the whole region, has led to a large-scale exodus from the Middle East and North Africa to Europe. A similar fate was also prepared for Syria. The combat operations conducted by the Western coalitions in that country without the Syrian government's approval or UN Security Council's sanction can only be defined as aggression and intervention. But the example that stands apart from the above events is, of course, the invasion of Iraq without any legal grounds. They use the pretext of allegedly reliable information available in the United States about the presence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to prove that allegation. The U.S. Secretary of State held up a vial of white powder publicly for the whole world to see, assuring the international community that it was a chemical warfare agent created in Iraq. It later turned out that all of that was a fake and a sham and that Iraq did not have any chemical weapons. Incredible and shocking, but true. We witnessed lies made at the highest state level and voiced from the high UN rostrum. As a result, we see a tremendous loss in human life, damage, destruction, and colossal upsurge of terrorism. Overall, it appears that nearly everywhere in many regions of the world where the United States brought its law and order, this created bloody, non-healing wounds and the curse of international terrorism and extremism. I've only mentioned the most glaring but far from only examples of disregard for international law. This array includes promises not to expand NATO eastward even by an inch. To reiterate, they have deceived us, or to put it simply, they have played us. Sure, one often hears that politics is a dirty business. It could be, but it shouldn't be as dirty as it is now, not to such an extent. This type of con artist behavior is contrary not only to the principles of international relations, but also and above all, to the generally accepted norms of morality and ethics. Where is justice and truth here? Just lies and hypocrisy all around. Incidentally, U.S. politicians, political scientists, and journalists write and say a veritable empire of lies has been created inside the United States in recent years. It is hard to disagree with this. It is really so. But one should not be modest about it. the United States is still a great country and a system-forming power. All its satellites not only humbly and obediently say yes to and parrot it at the slightest pretext, but also imitate its behavior and enthusiastically accept the rules it is offering them. Therefore, one can say with good reason and confidence that the whole so-called Western bloc, formed by the United States in its own image and likeness, is in its entirety the very same empire of lies. As for our country, after the disintegration of the USSR, given the entire unprovoked openness of the new modern Russia, its readiness to work honestly with the United States and other Western powers, and its practically unilateral disarmament, they immediately tried to put the final squeeze on us, finish us off, and utterly destroy us. This is how it was in the 1990s and the early 2000s, when the so-called collective West was actively supporting separatism and gangs of mercenaries in southern Russia. What victims, what losses we had to sustain, and what trials we had to go through at that time before we broke the back of international terrorism in the Caucasus. We remember this and will never forget. Properly speaking, the attempts to use us in their own interests never ceased until quite recently. They sought to destroy our traditional values and force on us their false values that would erode us, our people from within, the attitudes they have been aggressively imposing on their countries, including that are directly leading to degradation and degeneration because they are contrary to human nature. This is not going to happen. No one has ever succeeded in doing this, nor will they succeed now. Despite all that, in December 2021, we made yet another attempt to reach agreement with the United States and its allies on the principles of European security and NATO's non-expansion. Our efforts were in vain. The United States has not changed its position. It does not believe it necessary to agree with Russia on a matter that is critical for us. The United States is pursuing its own objectives while neglecting our interests. Of course, this situation brings up a question. What next? What are we to expect? If history is any guide, we know that in 1940 and early 1941, the Soviet Union went to great lengths to prevent war or at least delay its outbreak. To this end, the USSR sought not to provoke the potential aggressor until the very end, by refraining or postponing the most urgent and obvious preparations it had to make to defend itself from an imminent attack. When it finally acted, it was too late. As a result, the country was not prepared to counter the invasion by Nazi Germany, which attacked our motherland on June 22, 1941, without declaring war. The country stopped the enemy and went on to defeat it. But this came at tremendous cost. The attempt to appease the aggressor ahead of the Great Patriotic War proved to be a mistake, which came at high cost for our people. In the first months after the hostilities broke out, we lost vast territories of strategic importance as well as millions of lives. We will not make this mistake the second time. We have no right to do so. Those who aspire to global dominance have publicly designated Russia as their enemy. They did so with impunity. Make no mistake, they had no reason to act this way. It is true that they have considerable financial, scientific, technological, and military capabilities. We are aware of this and have an objective view of the economic threats we have been hearing, just as our ability to counter this brash and never-ending blackmail. Let me reiterate that we have no illusions in this regard and are extremely realistic in our assessments. As for military affairs, even after the dissolution of the USSR and losing a considerable part of its capabilities, today's Russia remains one of the most powerful nuclear states. Moreover, it has a certain advantage in several cutting-edge weapons. In this context, there should be no doubt for anyone that any potential aggressor will face defeat and ominous consequences should it directly attack our country. At the same time, technology, including in the defense sector, is changing rapidly. One day there is one leader, tomorrow another. But a military presence in territories bordering on Russia, if we permit it to go ahead, will stay for decades to come or maybe forever, creating an ever-mounting and totally unacceptable threat for Russia. Even now, with NATO's eastward expansion, the situation for Russia has been becoming worse and more dangerous by the year. Moreover, these past days, NATO leadership has been blunt in its assessments that they need to accelerate and step up efforts to bring the alliance's infrastructure closer to Russia's borders. In other words, they have been toughening their position. We cannot stay idle and passively observe these developments. That would be an absolutely irresponsible thing for us to do. Any further expansion of the North Atlantic Alliance's infrastructure or the ongoing efforts to gain a military foothold in the Ukrainian territory are unacceptable for us. Of course, the question is not about NATO itself. It merely serves as a tool of U.S. foreign policy. The problem is that in territories adjacent to Russia, which I have to note is our historical land, a hostile anti-Russia is taking shape. Fully controlled from the outside, it's doing everything to attract NATO armed forces and obtain cutting-edge weapons. For the United States and its allies, it is a policy of containing Russia with obvious geopolitical dividends. For our country, it is a matter of life and death, a matter of our historical future as a nation. This is not an exaggeration. This is a fact. It is not only a very real threat to our interests, but to the very existence of our state and to its sovereignty. It is a red line, which we have spoken about on numerous occasions. They have crossed it. That brings me to the situation in Donbass. We can see that the forces that staged the coup in Ukraine in 2014 have seized power, are keeping it with the help of ornamental election procedures, and have abandoned the path of a peaceful conflict settlement. For eight endless years, we have been doing everything possible to settle a situation by peaceful political means. Everything was in vain. As I said in my previous address, you cannot look without compassion at what is happening there. It became impossible to tolerate it. We had to stop that atrocity, that genocide of the millions of people who live there and who pinned their hopes on Russia, on all of us. It is their aspirations, the feelings and pain of these people that was the main motivating force behind our decision to recognize the independence of the Donbass People's Republics. I would like to additionally emphasize the following. Focused on their own goals, the leading NATO countries are supporting the far-right nationalists and neo-Nazis in Ukraine, those who will never forgive the people of Crimea and Sevastopol for freely making a choice to reunite with Russia. They will undoubtedly try to bring war to Crimea, just as they have done in Donbass, to kill innocent people, just as members of the punitive unit of Ukrainian nationalists and Hitler's accomplices did during the Great Patriotic War. They have also openly laid claim to several other Russian regions. If we look at the sequence of events and the incoming reports, the showdown between Russia and these forces cannot be avoided. It is only a matter of time. They are getting ready and waiting for the right moment. Moreover, they went as far as aspire to acquire nuclear weapons. We will not let this happen. I've already said that Russia accepted the new geopolitical reality after the dissolution of the USSR. We have been treating all new post-Soviet states with respect and will continue to act this way. We respect and will respect their sovereignty as provided by the assistance we provided to Kazakhstan when it faced tragic events and a challenge in terms of its statehood and integrity. However, Russia cannot feel safe, develop, and exist while facing a permanent threat from the territory of today's Ukraine. Let me remind you that in 2000-2005, we used our military to push back against terrorists in the Caucasus and stood up for the integrity of our state. We preserved Russia. In 2014, we supported the people of Crimea and Sevastopol. In 2015, we used our armed forces to create a reliable shield that prevented terrorists from Syria from penetrating Russia. This was a matter of defending ourselves. We had no other choice. The same is happening today. They did not leave us any other option for defending Russia and our people other than the one we are forced to use today. In these circumstances, we have to take hold and immediate action. The people, Republic of the Donbass, have asked Russia for help. In this context, in accordance with Article 51, Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, with permission of Russia's Federation Council, and an execution of the treaties of friendship and mutual assistance with the Donbass People's Republic and Lugansk People's Republic, ratified by the Federal Assembly on February 22nd, I made a decision to carry out a special military operation. The purpose of this operation is to protect people who for 8 years now have been facing humiliation and genocide perpetrated by the Kiev regime. To this end, we will seek to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, as well as bring to trial those who perpetrated numerous bloody crimes against civilians, including against citizens of the Russian Federation. It is not our plan to occupy the Ukrainian territory. We do not intend to impose anything on anyone by force. At the same time, we have been hearing an increasing number of statements coming from the West that there is no need anymore to abide by the documents setting forth the outcomes of World War II as signed by the totalitarian Soviet regime. How can we respond to that? The outcomes of World War II and the sacrifices our people had to make to defeat Nazism are sacred. This does not contradict the high values of human rights and freedoms and the reality that emerged over the post-war decades. This does not mean that nations cannot enjoy the right to self-determination, which is enshrined in Article 1 of the UN Charter. Let me remind you that the people living in territories which are parts of today's Ukraine were not asked how they want to build their lives when the USSR was created or after World War II. Freedom guides our policy, the freedom to choose independently our future and the future of our children. We believe that all the people living in today's Ukraine, anyone who wants to do this, must be able to enjoy this right to make a free choice. In this context, I would like to address the citizens of Ukraine. In 2014, Russia was obliged to protect the people of Crimea and Sevastopol from those who you yourself called Nats. The people of Crimea and Sevastopol made their choice in favor of being with their historical homeland, Russia, and we supported their choice. As I said, we could not act otherwise. The current events have nothing to do with a desire to infringe on the interests of Ukraine and the Ukrainian people. They are connected with the defending of Russia from those who have taken Ukraine hostage and are trying to use against our country and our people. I reiterate, we are acting to defend ourselves from the threats created for us and from a worse peril than what is happening now. I'm asking you, however hard this may be, to understand this and work together with us to turn this tragic page as soon as possible and move forward together without allowing anyone to interfere in our affairs and our relations, but developing them independently so as to create favorable conditions for overcoming all these problems and to strengthen us from within as a single whole, despite the existence of border states. I believe in this, in our common future. I would also like to address the military personnel of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, comrade officers. Your fathers, grandfathers, and great fathers, grandfathers did not fight the Nazi occupiers and did not defend our common motherland to allow today's neo-Nazis to seize power in Ukraine. You swore the oath of allegiance to the Ukrainian people and not just to the junta, the people's adversary, which is plundering Ukraine and humiliating the Ukrainian people. I urge you to refuse to carry out the criminal orders. I urge you to immediately lay down arms and go home. I will explain what this means. The military personnel of the Ukrainian army who do this will be able to freely leave the zone of hostilities and return to their families. I want to emphasize again that all responsibility for the bloodshed will lie fully and wholly within the ruling Ukrainian regime. I would now like to say something very important for those who may be tempted to interfere in these developments from the outside. No matter who tries to stand in our way or all the more so create threats for our country and our people, they must know that Russia will respond immediately, and the consequences will be such as you have never seen in your entire history. No matter how the events unfold, we are ready. All the necessary decisions in this regard have been taken. I hope that my words will be heard. Citizens of Russia, the culture and values, experience, and traditions of our ancestors invariably provided a powerful underpinning for the well-being and the very existence of entire states and nations, their success and viability. Of course, this directly depends on the ability to quickly adapt to constant change, maintain social cohesion and readiness to consolidate and summon all the available forces in order to move forward. We always need to be strong, but this strength can take different forms. The empire of lies, of which I mentioned, precedes any in its policy primarily from rough direct force. This is when our saying on being all brawn and no brains applies. We all know that having justice and truth on our side is what makes us truly strong. If this is the case, it would be hard to disagree with the fact that it is our strength and our readiness to fight that are the bedrock of independence and sovereignty and provide the necessary foundation for building a reliable future for your home, your family, and your motherland. There's an additional sect addressed to our compatriots. I am certain that devoted soldiers and officers of Russia's armed forces will perform their duty with professionalism and courage. I have no doubt government institutions at all levels and specialists will work effectively to guarantee the stability of our economy, financial system, and social well-being. And the same applies to corporate executives and the entire business community. I hope that all parliamentary parties and civil society take a consolidated patriotic position. At the end of the day, the future of Russia is in the hands of its multi-ethnic people, as has always been the case in our history. Back after the break with Lori Price, Vladimir Putin on the Empire of Lies.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, let me say that was a masterful speech by Vladimir Putin, displaying a breadth of knowledge and understanding and a complete dedication to upholding the interests of Russia under the most adverse circumstances. This is a speech that should be heard by every citizen of the world, much less the American people need to understand Russia's point of view. And it's been systematically deleted everywhere. This morning, MSNBC was praising Facebook and Twitter and the like for censoring Russian misinformation, no doubt including Vladimir's Putin's explanation of what is going on here and why the Russians are conducting a special military operation into Ukraine. Anyone who would like to read the text, go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org. You'll find I published it this morning after receiving it from Michael Ivey and sharing it with you here today. And what has been the response of the United States? Lindsey Graham has called for the assassination of Vladimir Putin. Lori, I cannot believe what's going on here. Your thoughts?
Hi there, Jim. Thoughts are, this is like critical insanity level. To me, this is all to get to the Great Reset. And I'm just looking at this, and Putin's speech was great. And he's right about, you know, it's just the analogy to the Russian bear. It is like a big bear. And people, that are nuts keep poking this bear that's minding its own business. It's a perfect analogy. I mean, they've been poking this bear for years, and it's just insanity. And this did not need to dominate the media coverage. And I don't know if you periodically, or maybe you don't at all, but watch Fox News during the day. It's everything has evaporated when it came out, the Pfizer documents that approximately 1 in 35 died in the trials, the 1,200 out of, you know, the 35,000 or something in the trials of Pfizer. That means it's a deadly product, and they released it anyway. And concurrently, they found a cover with this Ukraine issue. Now, as to Russia, Crimea, like 93% of the people in Crimea wanted to be reunified with Russia, okay? So, I mean, obviously, when is, I guess, Obama's criticized for not, you know, retaliating, whatever, but that's actually the right decision, was to let Crimea be reunified. Now, there's regions in Ukraine that have been tortured by a lot of Nazis who live in Ukraine, which is a fact. There's a lot of Nazis and neo-Nazis and the Right Sector Party and all that. And if you recall, back in 2014, John Kerry asked them not to display the swastika flag because it was offensive to some people. So it just shows you all this in contemporary times with the woke crap about an Antifa, which stands for anti-fascist. They're right with, they should be called pro-fa, because they're fine with neo-Nazis and fascists if they're in Ukraine. It just makes me crazy, the whole thing. But anyway, there are many. It doesn't mean everybody is. There are a lot of Nazis in the Ukraine. They were bothering the people in the Donbass region. They let 60 Russians die in a locked building, okay? So obviously the Donbass region and that region and that other republics had to go with Russia. Now, would the U.S. tolerate on the northern border of Mexico, you know, an alliance with Russia? Would the U.S. tolerate the southern border of Canada, you know, butting the United States in an alliance with Russia or China? Of course not. But yet, it's fine for people to say that, Ukraine should be in NATO, which butts the Russian border. I'm just saying the hypocrisy makes me insane, okay? It makes me crazy. We're going to give billions to Ukraine in aid. We don't even know where that money goes. And also to Afghanistan, which is run by the Taliban. And if I was a U.S. service member, frankly, as we know, I have my own questions on 9/11, as do you. But anyway, they could have cleaned up a terror cell like in 2 weeks in Afghanistan and left. But they stayed. And if I was a military service person's family who lost a service member fighting against the Taliban in Afghanistan, and then see Biden quietly turning over billions to Afghanistan, I mean, which is run by the Taliban. We never hear about any abuses going on with the Taliban, do we? Or in Saudi Arabia? No. But we hear about Russia and Putin. I mean, this is basically a good versus evil fight. And Putin was generally minding his own business. No leader's perfect, minding his own business. Keep poking the Russian bear, and this is the outcome. And no, I don't believe Russia was shelling the nuclear plant, okay? I don't believe that either. Another phony story, okay? Anyway, those are my thoughts. It's hard to keep them in one category because it's so scattered, but those are them. Hello?
No, Lori, those were completely appropriate. Here we have another story from the Daily Coast, which, of course, is a far-left website. Trump turns on Putin, calls invasion Holocaust. This is a very awkward situation, I think, for Trump. No doubt, if he were supportive of Putin, he would be called a traitor. I think from a political point of view that the Democrats are milking this for all it's worth. On the other hand, I'd sure like to see something more thoughtful. This isn't very far removed from Lindsey Graham calling for the assassination of Vladimir Putin, which is that's a violation of international law. Lindsey Graham, is completely disgusting, Lori. I cannot believe he's making these kinds of pronouncements and No one should take him seriously. He has discredited himself permanently.
Absolutely. Can I say something about Lindsey Graham, who I detest? Anyway, you know, nobody, who really likes, and I know he's intelligent, okay, but who really likes Lindsey Graham? Now, he stood up for Kavanaugh, who turned out to just be a corporatist tool anyway. Maybe that's why he was standing up for him. And, you know, he used all of his intellect, which was deep, to get Kavanaugh to defend him. And, you know, he was appreciated then at the moment. Kavanaugh turned out generally to be useless, as did Amy Coney Barrett, two people that I'm very disappointed in. However, Lindsey Graham has been, aside from that one time he rose to the occasion, or however you want to say it, with his speech there, he has been a neocon warmonger. There's photos of him with John McCain, a traitor, fomenting a coup in Ukraine in 2015. How come the U.S. can overthrow governments? The CIA has been doing this for years in Australia in the 1970s. I mean, you can list. The whole show would be absorbed if I list every time the CIA and other agencies, not just them, interfered in a coup in another country. We'd be here all night, okay? But when another country, they say, Russia interfered in our election, by the way, on Facebook, they spent $57,000, okay, which was what, of $1 billion or more election? I mean, and then Zuckerberg gave $500 million to defeat Trump. So what's $57,000 compared to $500 million or whatever? But anyway, it's Lindsey Graham, that's against U.S. law, which was in the church hearings in the 1970s where it came out that the U.S. could not assassinate a foreign leader, which it should be common sense anyway. But I don't know what we're doing on the side. But to publicly say that, which we shouldn't be saying it privately or publicly, but he's just discredited himself like you're saying. So who likes Lindsey Graham, and how did he get in? Now, he made a lot of huff, puff, and steam about investigating the 2020 election. I think it's weird he won by like 10 points when he was tied. I mean, I would not vote for him. I would not vote for Mitch McConnell. No people who like Trump are voting for those people. So how are they getting in? To me, elections were rigged for them as well, and it's all in exchange for keeping everything quiet about the rigging of Trump, you know, against Trump. But by the way, him now turning that is very disappointing. I didn't know about that. I believe it. His son seems to know what's going on, Don Jr., if you follow his Instagram feed. He knows what's going on. But Trump is going to be very disappointing if he goes down that path about Putin. But again, like you say, if he does anything sort of defending Putin. And by the way, one last point, something that no one's mentioning. Russia today suspended all fertilizer sales to the West. I mean, I saw that on a translated tweet on Twitter. I don't know if it's true. But if that is true, do you know what's going to happen to the price of food? Because apparently you need, I don't really know how it works, but I guess you need potash and all these things to make the crops grow. It's not my field, pardon the pun. But there's a farmer with like 14,000 acres that was speaking on Tucker Carlson the other day who said the food prices are going to go up like $1,000 a month per family. And Tucker actually said $1,000 per month, and he said yes, because of these fertilizers, the prices of fertilizer has skyrocketed anyway. And now I guess if Russia is a big exporter of this, and if this is true, that they shut off the fertilizer exports to the West, there's going to be a big problem with the food prices. I mean, a huge problem. I mean, and by the way, our leaders don't give a damn, especially the Democrats. I mean, there's a few Republicans that do, but generally nearly all Democrats and these neocons and most Republicans don't give a damn about the average American family at all. Heating oil in Connecticut is $4.24 a gallon. It went up 25 cents overnight. I didn't look today. This was from 2 days ago to 1 day ago. 25 cents a gallon. A 267-gallon tank is for an average homeowner. The Northeast lasts 1 month in the winter. That's $1,132 if you do the math to fill 1 month of heating oil, $1,100. This is what Biden has brought. I'm just saying, they don't give a damn about the average person with this war thing. Well, they don't care.
Well, Lori, what's so crucial about your observation regarding fertilizer is this fits the World Economic Forum's agenda, globalist agenda, because, you know, I think one reason they wanted the war in Ukraine is because Ukraine and Russia are principal contributors of wheat and other grain to the world's food supply. Those are indispensable, especially for poor countries. I mean, this is going to contribute to famine and starvation, which I believe has been the ultimate game they're going to play here to reduce the world's population, you know. So this is all very, very troubling. Now, here about Trump. In an interview on Fox, and this is the Daily Kos, the never should have been president, they call him, which is just insulting beyond belief, praised Ukraine soldiers, demanded a stop to the killing, and expressed a reaction to the video image of the invasion that seems incongruously human and normal, as malignant narcissists can fake fleetingly. Transcript of Key's actions. This is now Trump. Russia has gotten in deeper than they ever thought possible, to a certain extent because of the weapons that I gave and the Ukrainians use so well. I mean, they use so well, amazing. So I think Russia is something could be done with them right now because they're not looking so good. They have to stop killing these people, and they're killing all these people, and they stop it, and they have to stop it now. But they don't respect the United States. This is a holocaust. This is a horrible thing that's happening. You're witnessing, and you're seeing it on television every night. Who can believe that this? They're taking army tanks, and they're taking missiles and shooting them into buildings. In other words, he's being played by the propaganda. Lori, you're 100% correct. The Russians, for God's sake, who suffered through Chernobyl, are not going to be firing on a nuclear power plant. I mean, that is idiotic beyond belief. And that's the kind of rubbish that we're getting from the mainstream media. Go for it.
That's right. And you know, I would many times listen to Fox News during the day. They and Hannity, my God, wait, I'll get to him in a second. You know, generally, they would have a few good guests on there speak about the freedom and the truckers. Of course, we don't hear about that anymore, the truckers and the convoy and all that. And there would be some good, could get some good segments on Fox News. Now it's generally unbearable. And I thought, you know, people must not be watching anymore. But I looked online, and an article from 2 days ago said that their ratings are up like 26%. That's why all they're covering is this Ukraine stuff. But you notice Tucker doesn't re-air when this stuff is on. And Tucker was the only seemingly voice of reason. I mean, he's sort of trapped there now. But Hannity has become a disgusting neocon. And it's amazing the other day what he said. He said that if you kill innocent men, women, and children, you deserve to be taken out as a leader. He basically called for Putin's assassination before Lindsey Graham did. But I tweeted out saying, did he say that? Then I said, apparently, why didn't he call for the assassination of George W. Bush? Because Bush killed way more than, and by the way, Putin, from what I've read, he did not go after any civilians. It's just such lies. He went after the military installations and so forth, from what I've read. Very few have died at the hands of Putin. I don't know what this nut job Zelensky's doing, another fraud. It's all to get to the Great Reset, like you're saying. And this destruction of the food supply, if you notice something, which is just sickening, but many segments over the airwaves recently have covered, in a positive way, people eating bugs. They want us eating, that's part of the World Economic Forum is, with protecting the earth, which, anyway, that's their sliding in is through climate change, through all this stuff. But anyway, eating insects and bugs helps the earth. And if you notice, I was thinking about this. They'll have some attractive woman anchor on CNN, you know, laughing about eating grasshoppers or whatever, different bugs. You know, they have some indigent middle-aged man eating bugs, everybody would be repulsed. But if it's a cute woman on CNN or some, or MSNBC showing this, it makes you think, well, maybe that could be okay. They want us eating insects. They want us owning nothing. And this is all to get to it. In this, these food prices coming are all going to be, and the proof that they're in on this, the proof that I'm not a conspiracist is this. As much as I'd like to see green energy and the earth protected, Biden, with this energy in the U.S., the drilling and all that, now there should never be drilling in the ANWR because it's a protected, beautiful area, and that's fine. But there's other areas they could drill. He could have gotten rid of this whole gas price problem long before the Ukraine incident. So this is all proof. They want everybody so poor that they will welcome the Great Reset, because if you're 20 years old, you own nothing like the Great Reset wants you to do. You're fine eating bugs, having your iPhone, just your vaccine passport, which they quietly integrated in all these states behind our back right now while we're focusing on Ukraine. So for another pandemic, which they all say is coming, because you know they're going to release another one. But this is just to get to the Great Reset, because and people will want it, because if you, they'll figure it's fine to own nothing as long as I can, you know, get to my video games or whatever. I mean, this is what they're brainwashing people to do. And I don't know who's going to be able to resist this. I really don't.
Well, I wish if only there were some honest political figures in the United States. Trump is clearly compromising himself and all of my hopes that he might be able to restore the nation to a semblance of sanity. I'm sorry to say he's compromising those right now. He should be speaking out about the necessity to look at the situation from the Russian point of view. And when you have massive censorship, that nobody's getting another point of view, that's a clear sign of a totalitarian society. That's right here in the USA. I'm not talking about Russia. I'm talking about the United States.
That's
we
right.
have no freedom. We have massive censorship. And the Biden administration, of course, is 100% in on it, Lori. I know you know well. You are exposing it day after day after day with your efforts.
I mean, it's been, I was one of the, along with you, one of the early quote, not that I'm calling myself a victim, because I'm not in the relative, you know, scheme of things, but whatever. A victim of the censorship is what I'll say, along with you. Early on, when I was talking about Afghanistan, whenever I mentioned the CIA or the poppy fields, those newsletters would hit the spam bin, and then I'd have some person writing me saying, you're wrong about Google. They don't censor. I get my newsletter. And then I would send screenshots people would send me saying, I have marked you as a contact. I have marked you as a trusted sender, and here it is in the spam bin. I've told them 10 times to let this newsletter in. In my own folders, it would be marked as spam, and the real spam would get in. Keto diets, all this stuff gets in, but my newsletter would be in spam of my own newsletter that you know I'm not, the contact, legitgov.org domain would be in my own, you know, contacts. So it's a lie. We were early victims, you with the Sandy Hook book. The minute they censored that written by scholars, I was thinking we're in trouble. Nobody's going to see this down the line. That's like 10 years ago, nine years ago. I'm thinking we're going to be in trouble down the line, because when they're allowed to censor a book by scholars that is not advocating, you know, if you want to say advocating for Nazism or something, okay, whatever, but this is not advocating. This is scholars analyzing the day, the events. And if you're not allowing another perspective in on that day, this is going to be a problem. And then it became more and more in COVID. You know, you brought up the Daily Coast, whatever. I was banned from, Democratic Underground years ago when I was a Democrat, because I criticized, get this, Joe Lieberman, who is now the biggest neocon. He was a few years ago, at least, with a think tank, you know, a warmonger, whatever. I criticized him being a Democrat, and I got sort of booted out of there for being a conspiracist for questioning 9/11. It shows you there have been frauds. And Anonymous, which is supposedly leftist, hit Russia with a cyber, you know, I don't know how much of this is true, but Anonymous. So the left defends big pharma, mandatory vaccines, masks, going to war against Putin, which is the fascists are in the Ukraine. Anyway, so what is really the left anymore? I mean, come on, this is all just, look what is going on. And Trump, I lost it with Trump when he did not come out against the mandates virulently. He may maybe in a couple of rallies say a couple of statements, but when he did not forcefully go on record when Biden first mentioned the mandatory vaccines, that's when I said to myself, you know, that's it. And DeSantis, you know, I don't know what his deal is. I'd like to see him rise. But Trump, I don't know what happened with him.
Well, do you think DeSantis is viable as an alternative?
I do like that it was pure emotionalism when he turned around to those students and said, it's all theater. I think there's no way he'd allow. You know, the World Health Organization wants to be above constitutions because they saw not enough vaccinated because of protests in countries. They didn't like that. So they're quietly working on a workaround around that with the next time a pandemic comes. But anyway, I don't think DeSantis, if he was president, would ever tolerate that. I think he's not going to be swayed. I think he's got a lot of confidence in himself, and I think that's the key to it. Trump would have been good, but he surrounded himself with Lindsey Graham, who he played golf with. he let Mitch McConnell stay in there, and then, of course, John Bolton and Nikki Haley and all these lunatics. That was his mistake. He just thought he'd get some people in there that were popular in the Republican Party that would boost him. And picking Mike Pence, that was his biggest mistake. But I don't know. I don't see Trump unless he's learned, and I don't think he has. But I think DeSantis is maybe the only hope. I don't know if he could win, though.
Well, look, the American people are going to trash the Democrats. They're going to be tossed. The midterm election, I'm predicting 100 seats going to the GOP in the House, 3 or 4 in the Senate. It's going to be conversion of the politics of Washington, D.C. at the midterm. So,
yeah, but all that's going to happen, if Mitch McConnell and his ilk, I don't necessarily mean him, but remain, you know, there's many times there's some voting going on that we don't even know about. You know that the Republicans voted for all of Biden's nominees to these courts that were not the Supreme Court, the federal, you know, all these nominees quietly went through. You know, to me, these Republicans are pretty much useless with the exception. I mean, you know, we could name like 10 people. They're the ones, they said Marjorie Taylor Greene and the other one attended a white supremacist, they kept saying that, a white supremacist conference, and they got censured for it. And I'm like, what is the white supremacist?
Lori, stand by. We got a break. We'll be right back with Lori Price. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Lori, there's so much going on here. With Trump turning on Putin, I find that very disillusioning. I've never forgiven him for taking out Soleimani. That was an act of perfidy. That was disgraceful to the United States. It was just utterly disgusting. This was a great man. He'd been instrumental in helping Hezbollah defeat the Israeli army, ranked as the fourth most powerful in the world during its last incursion into Lebanon. And he was a great statesman. He was developing a plan for peace in the Middle East, which is why the Israelis wanted to take him out. I have no doubt Trump was acting at the request of Bibi Netanyahu to assassinate Soleimani. And now we have Lindsey Graham, disgusting cretin that he is, calling for the assassination of Vladimir Putin, who, I reiterate, is the only true statesman who's tried the world stage. This is the one guy in whom I think we can have confidence. I see no one else remotely close. Your thoughts?
Right. Well, he's providing a bulwark against the New World Order and the Great Reset. And that's why, now I know he's a member of the World Economic Forum, but that doesn't mean, you know, he could be in there, as Michael Reckenwald said to me, he's written a lot on the Great Reset, as you find on the web. He has said to me he could just be in there to see what the others are doing, whatever. It doesn't mean, just being a member itself, I know a lot of people think if somebody's in a certain group, that means that's it for them. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. But anyway, he seems to be, to me, Putin, a bulwark against us. And I don't know, this is to me, you know, talk about abuses. China, I mean, my God, I can't believe it. China, if you're going to go after a country for pulling stuff on people, whatever, But the U.S. will not go full court press against China because too many members of Congress are making a killing off of China. And also they emulate the model of the social credit score, which they'll integrate with the digital ID, with the vaccines and all this. And this Ukraine coverage, this crazy amount of coverage on Ukraine where that's all there is providing cover for the disaster, the vaccines, which people would be pretty annoyed because a lot of family members died after they didn't want the vaccine but got it for their job. There's no lawsuits, nothing, okay? But anyway, this is providing cover for all that. And Putin, to me, would, I don't know, to me, he's the one that I have, like you're saying, faith in all this. And Trump turning on him is, I don't know what his goal is there. He doesn't really criticize Biden that much. I mean, at a rally he will, but I don't know. I've seemed to have lost the love there for him, unless there's something going on I don't know about. But to me, he's not what I thought he could end up being in terms of hope for the world.
I am truly disillusioned with these statements about Ukraine and Putin and calling it a Holocaust. I mean, that, in my opinion, is completely unacceptable. I mean, we knew we'd hear the bullshit about damaging a Holocaust memorial in Ukraine. Of course, that would be part of the news. Oh, my God, what an offense. It turns out the memorial wasn't even damaged by Russian missile strikes, contrary to Zelensky's claims. And, of course, as you're pointing out, he was lying about Russia shelling the nuclear plant or triggering a radiation leak. He's just trying to con NATO into coming in, which absolutely will trigger World War III. Have no doubt about it. If NATO seeks to impose a no-fly zone or to otherwise intervene, forget it. All bets are off. You can kiss your ass goodbye.
They're lying about all this footage has been a lie. That bloodied woman is a member of parliament, that one that I've seen. I saw it as late as yesterday, as if they don't know by now it's phony. It was all over Twitter that was phony. The woman with the blonde hair that looked older with the blood on her arm and all that was phony. Then there was the video game company that threatened to sue for showing, pictures of, it looked like an air fight when it was from a video game. I mean, most of this is all coming out as all lies, and it gets reproduced. It's funny how you weren't allowed to say ivermectin works, which it does, but the real goal, ivermectin apparently works, can help cure cancer, apparently. I mean, I don't know. I've read a little bit about that, and that's really why they don't want anybody talking about ivermectin, because there goes the half a million a pop on the chemotherapy that they'll get from the insurance company, you know, the big pharma, so we can't talk about ivermectin. But anyway, you mention ivermectin, and there's a warning slapped down by Twitter, but you show fake video game footage of an air war, which does impact people to think, wow, if this is going on, we should be helping. I mean, that's a huge info, way more impactful than mentioning about ivermectin studies. There's no banning of fake news on Twitter of the propaganda against Putin, which is all lies. And they're saying Russia would attack a Holocaust memorial, having lost more people than anybody in World War II. It doesn't even make sense without even hearing the story. It's so ridiculous. It's all lies.
Yeah, but most Americans are so ignorant. They know nothing about World War II even. They have no idea that it was Russia that largely defeated the Nazi war machine. It wasn't America. Patton made a contribution, but Russia had far more to do with it. Russia suffered 20 million losses in World War II. I mean, Laurie. The ignorance of America, I'm afraid, has caught up with us, and now we're vulnerable to all kinds of propaganda because most Americans simply don't know any better.
And you know what? I'm sick of it's the biggest case of projection in the world of the Democrats with this woke stuff and everything else. Do you know, for all the years when I covered CLG, probably one of the most, if not the most outrageous story I covered was during the negotiations for the TPP, that's what changed me formally, and I walked away after that when they wanted the TPP. Now we're far beyond and much worse than the TPP. But anyway, when Obama was negotiating, there was, and this was covered even by the Huffington Post, there was a clause in there to not allow countries that allowed slavery to sell their goods. Democrats, some good Democrats, actually put that in there, that you can't have slavery, you know, you can't be a part of the treaty. But Obama made sure that was taken out. In other words, you could have slavery, okay? This is Obama, and we hear all this woke stuff and history and critical race theory, and it was Obama that got rid of that to make sure that wasn't in there. So a country could have slavery, all right? I mean, this is the hypocrisy. And I guess Kamala, on the 3rd of March, I just saw this on the web, she posted, let's send the Equality Act to President Biden's desk. Look at this, March 3rd, last night. There, you know, even if you go by their media of, quote, shelling a nuclear plant, we're talking about LGBTQ plus Americans targeting transgender Americans. This is the garbage that they're putting out there. I mean, even if you use their propaganda, their what's going on in Ukraine, even if you go by them, look what they're – that's what you think people want to talk about, this bill, the Equality Act, which probably has so many poison pills in there, you know, to just – well, whatever.
Lori, you're completely correct. I mean – if there were an accurate history written, Barack Obama would turn out to be the greatest bastard president of the United States and done more damage than anyone. I mean, it's inconceivable how badly he has damaged the United States, including, of course, as I've often mentioned, nullifying the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were used abroad, paid for riots, staged events, by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. And then it was followed by a veritable floodgate opened of other staged events of Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. Lori, he just corrupted the United States massively, deliberately. What a fraud.
Right. And then if you notice, by the way, all those during COVID, there was a lot, maybe a couple of workplace shootings. And I believe, you know, a couple of those workplace shootings, people were that upset. And if you've ever been in the corporate world, you can kind of understand the psychology there of a mass shooting. Just kidding. But anyway, outside of a couple of workplace shootings, no mass shootings with COVID, which tells you they didn't want to split the focus of the fear going on, because these are all generally orchestrated by the government. And I read something obscure that, of course, didn't get coverage recently. In 2017 in Spain, when I guess Catalina wanted independence, there was a terror attack, and they blamed ISIS. So, of course, that got people to think we should stay, you know, scared. That was a government – that just came out straight up. Government did it. Their government did it. You know, so it was a false flag. But that got – you know, that got votes to drain away from the independence. So, you see, these false flags have been used all over. And during the State of the Union, there were so many it was intolerable to even listen to. But the biggest one of all, which I tweeted out, was on him saying that you can't sue gun manufacturers. It's the only industry you can't sue. But in fact, you can sue because, as you know, in Connecticut, they sued and won recently. That was this year in Connecticut on the gun manufacturers. And also, I put the only group you can't sue is the vaccine manufacturers. That's the truth. He totally lied and got away with everything in the State of the Union. And nobody really analyzed it because of this Ukraine thing. I mean, this Ukraine is the biggest blanket, meaning cover, for all this stuff going on that is just enormous right now, the inflation, the price of oil. Before this, you know, the attack even happened, not getting any coverage, the lies of the State of the Union, okay? And the biggest one of all, the COVID, how they found the masks didn't work after making school children, setting them behind years. The masks didn't work, and the vaccine data showing how deadly, and it does enter your RNA, your DNA in the liver in 6 hours. They lied about that, the CDC saying, no, it does not alter your DNA, if you remember that era. So this COVID, this Ukraine is providing a cover for all of this.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Of course, absolutely 100% providing a cover. I couldn't agree more. I'm willing to open the lines to calls, Lori, if you're up for that. We can bring in callers at 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will get you on the air. Just give us your first name and your state, and we'll talk about all these things. It has been, the fact that they're trying to, there's an inconsistency here in the oil business. They're dreaded because the price of gas is going up, that it's going to hit them tremendously right between the eyes at the midterm. So you have Jen Psaki saying, well, we're going to continue to buy Russian gas, that we know have no interest in reducing the amount of energy available worldwide. When Biden shut down the XL pipeline, he precluded the drilling. You mentioned some of these things already, Lori. But, I mean, the actions he has taken are so stupid. They're so colossally anti-American. They're so violative of the best interests of the United States. And then he had the gall to say, we want to fund, the police. We don't want to defund the police. When for 2 years we've had a campaign to defund the police coming from and agitated by the Democrats.
Right. And even worse than the defunding of the police, which is bad enough, okay, is the district attorneys, because even where money and the police incident doesn't matter, when the criminals arrested, these district attorneys releasing people, you know the recent shooter, and this one I guess really happened in a school, he was let out on bail, African-American male, let out on bail, which, I'm just saying, I don't know any other time in history where they do arrest the shooter in one of these things. Usually they're shot, whatever, but arrest one, where they're let out the next day on bail. That, why is there bail at all if you have a, if this actually happens and you have a legitimate suspect and they're shooting up a school, why is there bail at all for that? I mean, they could go, I don't know. But even more.
Well, Lori, Zelensky is replicating this in Ukraine. He's letting criminals out and giving them weapons, which are using to steal, rape, and rob the people of Ukraine. He thought they were going to become some valiant fighting force. These are people who put their own interests first. They're not going to risk their lives in dealing with the Russian military. They're going to take advantage of the weapons to benefit their criminal careers.
Why? Right. And having nothing to do with trying to do reform, which I believe in some type of reform, and you shouldn't be serving 10 years in jail for having a marijuana joint as they did in the 80s and 90s. That's ridiculous. The Rockefeller drug laws and all, ridiculous. But I do believe in some kind of reform and justice reform. That's fine. But there's some people that are just psychopaths and sociopaths, whatever you want to call it, that just want to kill and hurt people. It has nothing to do with money. They could be very wealthy themselves. They're just nut jobs out. They want to rape and attack women and abuse and molest children. They are out there too, having nothing to do with money or any of that issue, that need to be away from society, however you do it. And these liberal DAs installed by Soros do not take into account the nut job factor, all right? Like pushing people on a subway factor that you don't even know, on a subway platform that you don't even know. Why is that person let out? I mean, this is insanity. And it's destruction of the U.S., middle class and from within, because the rich can always buy security game.
Lori, bear in mind, Soros wants to destroy the United States.
Right.
And he very perceptively recognized that destroying law and order is one of the shortest routes toward that goal. So all this is being done totally deliberately, fully conscious of the consequences. There's nothing going on here that wasn't anticipated by Soros and his minions. It's fulfilling their objective. It's staggering that there would be anyone in favor of it, but we even had it in Waukesha here, where the district attorney, thought that bail was racist, so he let this guy out, even though he was in for running over his girlfriend with his car. I mean, he was And then he went out to commit the same offense in relation to, you know, the parade that was taking place there. I mean, Laurie, it's stunning.
There was very little coverage of that guy because he didn't fit the narrative. But the biggest false flag of all to me was Charlottesville. You know, I don't even know what really happened there. That was to destroy Trump early on, that and the Russia collusion, all that. It's just, these are the biggest hypocrites on God's green earth. And the biggest thing that gets me of all is how much they love Ukraine, especially the government of Ukraine, when it really is, when you drill into it, you know, a lot of Nazis, again, not everybody, there's people just minding their business, doing their thing in Ukraine. I'm not talking about the citizens in general, but a lot of Nazis there and what's going on, and yet the left totally supports Ukraine. It's unbelievable. It's just, how about Trudeau calling the truckers Nazis when his an official there was literally at a rally with Nazi flags? Remember that one? I mean, yeah. You know, these people, her grandfather apparently was literally a Nazi, the woman that was seen on camera with the flags, and all they did was keep the picture and just edit out the scarf with the Nazi insignia. So, I mean, I don't understand. I thought the left and Antifa were against Nazis. I don't understand this. I mean,
well, it's a pretense. Of course, they're not against Nazis. They are Nazis. I mean, we cannot be naive about this.
So I just want to say Soros wants China to be the dominant, dominant player when it all shakes out. China.
Well, I think I think he's the one with Klaus Schwab, and they say Klaus Schwab openly talks about this in his book about the Great Reset, about decimating the white population of Western Europe and of the United States, and that they're going to reduce the population. And he even talks about lethal vaccines and starvation. He mentions it explicitly, but that they're going to reduce the world's population to about 1 billion, and half a million are going to be Chinese and Japanese because they are so obedient. They're used to conforming. So they're going to be allowed to be half of what remains when all is said and done. But don't have any doubt about it. We do have a caller. Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on a second, Bruce. Yeah. Laura, you wanted to add a thought?
No, I'm just saying real quick that there's no doubt with this. You know, I just hate to say this, but when they raise these prices, if there are people in this, I'm talking about the U.S. now, right, this particular minute, on a fixed income, and if something becomes $20 more, that means you're buying less of something. And this is going to kill people, these policies anyway, even before they get to the Great Reset. And they predict, and these vaccines are going to stimulate the cancer production way up, and the heart attacks in the young and all this. So they are working on this Great Reset. I mean, it's coming.
We got a call here from Bruce in Texas. Go ahead, Bruce. Join the conversation.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I giggled on air. I've muted myself. I was just thinking about something. Nothing towards you, Lori, what you were saying. You're very intelligent, and I really appreciate your comments and the work that you're doing. And you too, Jeff. Well, I was just thinking, with everything going to hell in a handbasket, remember that movie Airplane where the air traffic controller, I forget that actor's name. Boy, I picked a bad time to quit smoking cigarettes. Glue and this seems like that's where I'm at right now. I mean, this is nuts. This is, I think it's all been orchestrated by the West. And, the point of the Nazis, that Azov Battalion, and I equate them just in the same league as ISIS and Syria. They're fools, they're mouth breathers that have been, you know, funded by the CIA. They don't represent what happened in Germany from 38 to 45, 33 to 45 anymore than ISIS does, the greater religion of Islam. They're useful idiots, and they're a cat's paw army. And so that's my thought on that situation there. You know, it's really tragic how the media it can just brainwash and push narratives so easily. And I thought we were getting over this back in 2008, 2012, when the 9/11 truth movement was really gaining steam. And they saw that YouTube was full of videos that were eye-opening, that were breaking through, and then they shut that down. And the deplatforming of conservative voices, not deplatforming anybody who contradicts their narrative, and it empire lies, like we say.
Laurie, did you want to pick up on that? I mean,
well,
yeah, censorship has just been boundless. It's unbelievable how much has been taking place.
Thank you for your compliment, by the way, at the beginning. Yes, once they got the thin edge of the wedge, that was it with the censorship. It is simply mind-blowing how in a newsletter that I sent, and by the way, legitgov.org, if people want to go, that's my website, and there's a free newsletter. You just hit the button to subscribe. But just to say, when I have a newsletter, you know that there are topics that it can't even occur to me to cover because the words will be, they will be called as, they will trigger spam. But yet, for example, I can't, you know, if there's a mortgage crisis or something, all that during that whole year, I couldn't cover that because of the word mortgage. But yet, CBS Market Watch could cover it. But it goes beyond that, like ivermectin, I have to say Ivor. You know, there's certain words I just can't say. I have to add dashes, asterisks, all kinds of things. But yet, other newsletters I get from the establishment or mainstream, there's no, they don't have those kind of restrictions. I noticed. So I have to tiptoe around, which is insane on its face. But the thin edge of the wedge, once they started, you were one of the first victims, Jim, with the book. It's just so outrageous, being banned on Amazon. And then everything came. Now they ban even up to Joe Rogan, which people sometimes can't get his podcast, apparently. It's insane.
Yeah, it is. We have another caller, Dean, here. Join the conversation, Dean.
Hi, I just wanted to float this idea out that one of the main reasons of the fear and what's driving this extreme fantasy land propaganda with the conflict, I think, is because they all know that Russia has put its military, I mean, it's still on an ongoing plan, but put its military in a better state than it was. And it's conducting its military with a purpose. It's not as cynical as the Soviet Union. Now, unfortunately, they've been in one too many wars. If Russia conducts its military to success with the style of strategy and tactics it's using, allowing various forces to essentially run dry and give up and surrender and keep the civilian infrastructure relatively intact, if that eventually gets out into mainstream, what's it going to sound like on political shows when the talking point goes, well, we list out all these wars, you were in them this long, you killed this many civilians, now look what Russia did. They took less time, they didn't kill everyone.
Dean, stand by, we'll bring you back right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Dean, please consider reiterating your position here for us to consider.
Okay, sure. So more than, and I'll slightly rephrase it because I can't exactly quote what I said before, but more than just, for instance, the US being in a sulk because it left its 8-year operation, smashed up the computers and disappeared out of Ukraine, and it's not going their way. That's not what I believe is driving this massive fear to push the media narrative in the West to absurd fantasy levels. I think it's due to the fact that everyone knows that the Soviet Union is gone or heavily going by this point, and the military within Russia is well within its reform, on the latter stages of its reform. They've seen the tactics and strategy that Russia's using. They see that it's not going to go well for the Ukrainians, most likely. And what you're going to end up with, if this goes well for the Russians, is you're going to end up with a war that's been finished quicker than all the wars that have been fought recently in the West, with less casualties and without a massive need for a rebuild of the civilian infrastructure. So, of course, there's going to be, it's not a perfect war, but it's going to look night and day. And if that gets out into the mainstream media narrative and they can't cover that up, every talk show in town will start to have people use that as a talking point. So it won't just be, look at our illegal weapons in Iraq, look at how we pushed or funded jihadis in Syria, look how we made a mess of Afghanistan and how we did that. It will be, and then look how the Russian Federation, that you say are a load of rubbish, corrupt and evil, handled their military campaign. It's going to be a total compare and contrast nightmare for the West. They'll lose their, it'll be emperor with no clothes on the military side of things.
Well, Dean,
they'll lose credibility.
I think you're correct on the facts of the matter, but that's because they're going to suppress it. They're going to not let the information come out, and it's going to be, you know, a massive suffocation and censorship. We're getting so much of it already. Paul has joined us from California, and Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, it just so happened this morning when I got up earlier, I went on your website, as I usually do a few times a week, and I saw Putin's speech there, so I listened to it, and I read along, and then I heard you read a good part of it again in the first hour. So here's, you know, my take. Without being too hard on him or those people that think how great it is, I just want to make this quick point. So So it was the Nazis, I guess, that went into Ukraine and took away the people's food and starved them out in the early 30s, right, and caused the Holodomor. I guess it was the Nazis that killed the Tsar and his family, right? And I guess it was the Nazis that overthrew the Russian government. And I guess it was the Nazis that have put all these Jewish oligarchs in power in Ukraine and Russia. Plenty of Jewish oligarchs have looted both of those countries for a very, very long time, for decades now. And I guess we can blame the Nazis for all this this Jewish control over every single nation basically on the face of the earth that's worth controlling. And I guess the Nazis are being paid off under the table by these Jews for being the villains. Maybe that's the way it works. You know, I got a little problem with Putin's version of history and the Great Patriotic War. And, you know, maybe he's not to be faulted. Maybe he wasn't shown the secret papers at the archives of the KGB. I don't know. Okay. But Putin is no good guy. All right. And this is the problem. We don't have a good side in this thing. Okay. That's the unfortunate thing. Multiple articles online you can read to this effect. There's a great article now on National Vanguard. I read another one on Renegade Tribune, talking about how essentially neither side is clean. They don't have clean hands. Putin is a compromised and a dirty character. He may have noble qualities. I don't dismiss the fact that people are essentially a spectrum, and there's good and bad sides to every individual. And maybe there are some good sides to Putin. Maybe patriotic and noble would be good words to describe him. But, you know, again, this thing, everything about this entire operation reeks. It stinks to me.
Well, why don't you tell us what you think is going on, Paul? What do you think is taking place?
Well, do we really know? I mean, we can be pretty sure that it's as big a distraction as there comes, right? More fear putting into us. They're telling us ahead of time what's going to happen. Oh, there's going to be inflation. Oh, fuel costs are going to go up. Oh, there's going to be a recession. It's the same shit, Jim, you and I have seen all our lives, right? As long as we've been alive, there's about 15 or so years difference between me and you, but we've seen it, right? Has it ever changed? It was the Russians in the 80s. It was the Russians in the 70s. It was the Russians in the – it's like constant. They do – Russia does have a legitimate beef, and Putin should know this as part of history, is it was Jewish power in England and the United States that put the Bolsheviks in charge in Russia. That was Jewish money from Wall Street and London that did that. And this can't even be disputed. So, you know, there's a legitimate beef that Russia has against the quote-unquote West. But who is the West, really? He's completely correct about the fact that we're just an empire of lies, no doubt about it. But it's unfortunate because I don't really think it represents the average Western man, the average Aryan. The average Aryan is a good person. We're allowing ourselves to be ruled by evil Jewish criminals. That's all it is. It's a criminal cabal.
Dean wants to comment on your thoughts here, Paul. Dean, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, really good points. And I kind of wanted to sew up how you can have, as you said, oligarchs, Jewish influence, etc. in Ukraine and have Nazis at the same time. The reality is that they are unusual bedfellows. So in Ukraine, you have these different factions that are actually part of the overall structure. So it's not just one or the other, even though they would completely contradict each other within like our view of how the history has flowed prior to that. But in Ukraine itself, it's just gangsterism. It's really sad to say, but that's how it's been. And the if you want to take the Russian side, coup or change of government and all the disruption there only exacerbated it. It made it worse, made it more overt. Where none of these factions are in the background in Ukraine. They're all in the foreground. And there's different regions in Ukraine that lean more towards the Nazi side and other regions that lean more towards maybe certain popular corporatist far right nationalist groups that have oligarchs at the top that are of Jewish descent. They're all in it together.
It is true that the oligarchy put in the Bolsheviks, Wall Street. That is absolutely true, which nobody really talks about. I'm not sure what religion has to do with it, but I know that Wall Street did put the Bolsheviks in. That's a fact.
I don't know. You know, I can't. We did this before probably a year or so ago, Lori, where you said, I don't know what religion has to do with it. All
I can say
is that you're just not on the spectrum. You need to get educated on this. It's nothing to do with religion. Nothing. Zero.
You're tracing it to the deep roots of a cabal, whatever. And, you know, I know what you're saying there. And I know about Soros and all that. But I try to, and this is just my view, is, I judge Soros as the dirtbag that he is, whatever, but, and, you know, he may be, as to the roots of the cabal, I know what you're saying, with it's just, I go
well, I mean, again,
I will not
it's all,
say that all of it has to do with the cabal, although I know what you're saying about, you know, Soros is what he is, and I just try to comment
so
on Soros as Soros.
Well, I think Paul is making the point that there's a, in my opinion, Talmudic Jewish conspiracy. Paul uses the word Jew more indiscriminately than but the point, Paul, I'm going to give you plenty of time to say your piece. I do it all the time. Lori, I've just explained that, you know, Paul believes in the Khazarian or international Jewish conspiracy. The Rothschild banking industry, without any doubt, is behind the Great Reset. Klaus Schwab himself is the Rothschild.
I agree about the Rothschilds and the Talmudic. I understand that aspect, but like
frustrating
maybe
none of you
Jim says to say Talmudic rather than just Jewish.
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay.
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, so again, this all this stuff begs the point, Jim. You always do this about the Talmudic and the Torah. It drives me up the wall. This is simple. Historically, these people, the Germans did not consider them German because they weren't German. They weren't Russian. The Russians don't consider them Russian. They're Jewish. Historically, going back centuries, they're another people, which means another race. The only thing that's real is race. It actually exists. It's biological. Right and left, communist, liberal, Nazi. These are all constructs. They're false. Race is real. It's the only thing real and biological worth talking about. And there's multiple articles online, really good stuff that you could get into and read, including National Socialist literature, but also modern day stuff that makes this clear. They play mind games with us, but it's an issue of race. A lot of these people are mixed. There's no doubt about it. But the bottom line is the problem is they're aliens. They're foreigners. Again, when you get into the whole history, what happened in Germany, they weren't German. Okay? And the people in Russia, the white Russians, the Cossacks, and the people in Ukraine is predominantly an Aryan area. Okay? It was settled by a lot of German farmers that were invited in by the Tsars because they were so good at building a society. They're called kulaks at the time. They were white. They knew the difference between their own people and Jews who were racially alien. Some of them looked more alien than others. So the bottom line is, yes, it's not all of them. Anybody can articulate the not all argument. The not all argument is not worth talking about. We need to identify who these people are. We have an enemy, okay? And to them, we are their enemy, okay? They're making war on Christian Gentile people. They want Christian Gentile dead bodies. That's what they want. And they want to take what is ours. And they've been doing it for a very long time. They take our money. They take our wealth. They want to compromise our blood with these vaccines. They want to ruin us. They want to ruin our reproductive future. It's, to me, I just see it clearly. That's all. And it's frustrating to hear people talk about Torah or Talmud or any of this. Oh, well, they're not all Jewish.
It's not just Jewish people that were pushing the vaccines down our throats and want the destruction of Christianity and the middle class and all that, which I do see a push on that.
Okay.
I absolutely see that. But it's not just Jewish people.
The Orthodox Jews weren't taking the vaccine, Paul.
What? What was that?
And the Orthodox Jews weren't taking the vaccine. And Putin has a, you know, he's real chummy with the Shabbat Leibovich. But the Jews that float around in multi-million-dollar mega yachts and the ones who control our media and the ones who control our politics, they're Jews, but they're not observant Jews.
No, I am absolutely sure. There's no doubt in my mind that I would probably have a lot in common with a very righteous Orthodox Jew. There's no doubt about that.
Dean, did you want to add further? further remarks, Dean?
Well, the talk about race being solid is a thing that crops up in Ukraine. So those comments, there is truth and sentiment around that, and that does feed into Ukraine. I suppose you could say, as far as hatred towards Christians, well, the Jews kind of did it first, stroke Rome. So then I suppose you could argue that the communist or the left, much of their early thinkers are themselves Jewish, but then it's a different ideology that leads to the hatred of Christians. So I'd say, yes, hatred of Christians, very real, been going on for a long time. Race being a solid thing and still a thing that's taken as conflict or as faction, yes, still very true, and true in Ukraine.
And just quickly, a little historical note for people that forget is that in Spain, in the Spanish Civil War, with, you know, their battle with, quote, communism, which, of course, was against Jewish infiltrators and revolutionaries, is they destroyed churches and they dug up cemeteries and you know, took the bodies of nuns and priests out of coffins and desecrated them up against churches. And of course the Bolsheviks destroyed all kinds of churches in Russia and Ukraine. And actually the Germans came in and the Germans actually rebuilt all sorts of Christian churches in Ukraine. The Germans were welcomed as liberators. So there's a lot going on here, but again, we have a determined enemy, and it's not us, okay? Ourselves is not the enemy. It's a foreign, outside, alien influence, and that's the way we have to look at it. And I just use a word to identify it. That's all I've got. That's all we have is words. I'm a human being. I can get along with people if I talk to them, and I know them, but I'm using words to identify what has historically been identified already for a couple millennia at least.
Well, I think you make a point really clear. Laurie, do you have further thoughts about this aspect or just, others?
Well, just, I agree that there are definitely influences throughout history of people that are, for lack of a better word, a-holes that are causing all kinds of disruptions. And I believe that you've researched, you know, what is the binding factor in your mind. And, I could see you're making this point. In my view, and this is just me speaking, like you're saying, a human being with words, in my view, I see others involved in this endeavor to make the U.S. a blank hole that are beyond, you know, perhaps they're under, you might argue, if I don't want to put words in your mouth, under the influence of the people that are at the root of this garbage or whatever. There's definitely problems with it continually making things worse, rooting out. There is an effort going on, and I have seen it in media, even pop culture shows, where they make somebody who studies the Bible, a Christian that has a lot of kids, wears the cross. Those, the many, many shows in pop culture and movies, those are always the, quote, bad guys or weird guys, whatever, weird women.
They mock them.
Yes,
they mock
that goes on. But I'm saying there's beyond that group that you're saying. I'm not going to label it, but if you choose to, you choose to. But I'm just saying there's people. Mitch McConnell wants to see the middle class destroyed and is rooting for the Great Reset. Is he a Jewish Talmud? I mean, I don't know.
It's like these people are irrelevant, though. All these politicians, that they really, can anybody take Nancy Pelosi seriously or Joe Biden or Mitch McConnell? These are not leaders. They put these laughable pawns on a stage and they change them around like scenery. Every 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, it doesn't really matter who's the power behind.
But you're acting like, let me just add one quick thing. Like,
sure.
There are a few people that you can tell are in it to actually help people, whether you agree with them or not. Marjorie Taylor Greene, whatever. She's independently wealthy. Maybe she's set. She can afford to do this. I don't know. But she's not falling under this trap. I'm just saying there are a few exceptions. So, therefore, it's not every set piece on there is a...
I know.
Conspiracy.
All we can do is make the broad general point. We can all point out the individual examples, and it's a variation of the not all argument. It's like saying, "Oh, not all black people are criminals." I mean, it's a point not even worth making. Okay, it's unfortunate we live in a world of generalities. I mean, we all live our lives individually, and we deal with other individuals, but the world is shaped by large forces, by generalities. And we're not in control of our own destinies. That's the main point. I mean, we can name names. We can talk about James Trafficante, right, or Cynthia McKinney. All these people are fine. You know, Ron Paul, who knows? Right. But they're irrelevant because they don't have power. And unfortunately, as Mao said, power, political power, comes out of the barrel of a gun. And the determining thing in history is physical force. This is the way it is. You know, I didn't make this rule. It's just the way it is. Physical force determines history.
Before the end of the show, I just want to flash back to something. I think it was Dean who said that I did think of myself, how quickly and efficiently because the show will end, and I want to make sure I say this, that I agree with that on how quickly and efficiently I was thinking of this myself. The Russian army was working in Ukraine, you know, for or against, whatever, and how an argument can be made when you think 20 years in Afghanistan or all these years in Iraq. But that was done because basically it was a milking process. As I recall, the U.S. spent $43
exactly.
million on one gas station in Ukraine. Okay, so somebody's getting rich off of this, whereas Russia actually, whether you agree or not, wants to carry out their goals, so they're doing it. The U.S. wants to take care of the defense contractors and others and enrich them. So that could be the difference between making short work and getting it done, like in Russia, versus the U.S. spending 20 years on an occupation. People were making money on that occupation. But that was a good point that
yeah.
you made.
Very, very well said. And, again, I would just add to it, back to our earlier conversation about, you know, Jews versus the non-Jews that are cooperating with them. Yes, there's a Jewish gravy train in the world in all these individual countries. I know probably Jim has not seen it, but I sent him and many other people on my email list a frontline documentary from, I believe it was 2015 or 14, right around there, about Putin. You know, Putin is not a saint, okay? He's a businessman, essentially, and he does business with people, and people do business with him. And, you know, when I watch that, and I highly recommend a frontline documentary on Putin, you know, it just shows the same formula going in all these countries, right? It's just pay to play. It's corruption. And there's lots of people that take advantage of the Jewish gravy train that are not Jewish. But what you're describing there, Laurie, is just a defense contractor, military, industrial, petrochemical, you know, whatever, banking cartel, gravy train. That's all it is.
Paul, let me just ask a real simple question. Who's got the right in relation to Ukraine, the West or Putin?
I got to be honest. I don't really feel I am qualified to answer that question. You can make arguments that it's always been part of Russia, and you can see that, but also that they're not really – there's a lot of Russian people there, but Slavic people are different from Aryan people. And
it's pretty obvious.
Each of those. Yeah.
It butts up against Russia. It's in their sphere of influence. And there's lots of Russians that have been chilled for 8 years there.
Yeah.
So I don't see how you cannot say that Russia, it's in their national interest to have stable Russia.
But,
and it's shelling the people.
And this will be brief. This will be less than 45 seconds. The brief answer to your question is, in terms of right to control a territory or
it's
land.
It's not a question. It's a correction.
Historically,
Bruce, let Paul give his answer. Go ahead.
Well, Paul takes up 25
okay.
minutes and a half hour, but I'll go ahead and go.
Okay. Well, so just to finish the answer to Jim's question about, you know, in terms of right to rule a territory or to control or have power, historically, what does it really come down to? It's whoever asserts their dominance. I mean, you can make the case the land we're on belongs to the Indians or the out here in California with part of Mexico. You know, this argument goes on and on and it's whoever asserts their will, that's who has the right. That's nature. That's the law of the world.
Bruce, did you want to add a comment here? Bruce.
I think
Dean,
he dropped off.
Dean, a final thought from you, Dean.
I would say this, despite Vladimir Putin having duality to his character and his actions, once he had pushed past the swamp, he has certain goals for national interest in Russia that would seem laudable if you're paying attention. It's just he's working within a country that's had to recover, and he himself is going to be, shall we say, not Captain Perfect. He's not leading a country like the US, even with all of its problems. He was leading a country off the back of a collapsed Soviet Union being called up after Yeltsin, it was a complete state. You think US has got it bad with its corruption and deep state? Wait till you go and, as you say, look at documentaries on what Russia was like back then. He's going to have to do all kinds of nasty stuff that would make our skin crawl and we wouldn't do ourselves to get to where he's got to now.
Yep.
Dean, excellent, excellent. Laurie, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show again, especially on short notice. And
thank you, Jim.
Paul and Bruce, I'm very glad to have had your comments here. Excellent, excellent. We've hit the end of the road, I think. Meanwhile, since this is a Friday, let me encourage everyone to spend as much time as they can with their family, their friends, and their loved ones, because we still do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for joining. Back Monday with more of The Raw Deal. Laurie, squeeze in your final, your website, Citizens for Legitimate Government, where they can go.
Yep, legitgov.org, L-E-G-I-T-G-O-V is in Victor.org, and then you can get the newsletter, which I cover the underbelly of the news about twice a week. I think you'll like it.
And for those who'd like to see Vladimir Putin's speech, it's on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. And Paul offered a lot of alternative views here about it, and he makes a lot of good points. I still think Vladimir Putin is a good guy, and the West has disgraced itself and will continue to do so. And even if you judge us in terms of force, Russia is doing what Russia has to do to protect its national security, while Biden is doing everything he can to destroy ours. That's the grim reality of the situation we're in today. Laurie, such a pleasure. Yep.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much, Jim. I agree.
My pleasure.
I don't disagree with
Paul. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't disagree with anything you just said about Putin. The only thing we can't know is what's in his heart.
Yeah.
Does he really care about his people, you know? I mean, we can assume he does. If he does, then he's a good guy.
Does,
if he really cares about his country, his people, then okay, I'll give him that.
Would that we had a leader who could make a comprehensive, historically, generally accurate statement such as he presented in the speech I read during the first segment of the show today. Check it out at jamesfetzer.org. Have a good one.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.